Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
When it comes to old age, aging gracefully, for me, I don't think I'd want to go past probably the late 70s for me. I reckon that'll do.
Really? You think you'd be tired of it all by then?
Yeah, no one likes a show off, let's be honest.
All right.
I think that'd probably be, I'm going to be one of those people that's going to definitely, I'm going to burn out before I fade away. I think I might just call my innings when I get to the late 70s. I think by then I'll probably have gout and God knows what else.
You make it sound like you're a party animal, though, like you're burning candle at both ends. Like, oh, I don't think I'll live that long. You know what I mean?
I think it's just after the recent trip to Cobar, meeting 84-year-old Robert, who's just so sprightly, and I'm looking at me, and I get up and I make noise when I get up. He doesn't.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't think I'm going to make it to that sort of age. But there's a man in Roma, Dexter Kruger.
Oh, yeah?
This guy. He's been making headlines for a few years now. There's been a bit of basically a tit-for-tat battle with another person when it comes to being the oldest person in the country.
And you reckon they get up each morning when you have these people that are sort of vying for the oldest person in whatever country? And they're just looking in the obits going, come on.
It's my day today. Well, he recently had his birthday and, he's finally notched up a bit of a record. Take a listen.
At 111 years old, Dexter Kruger has celebrated more birthdays than most, but today he sets a new milestone. Mr. Kruger overtakes World War I veteran Jack Lockett, breaking the record for the oldest man to ever live in Australia.
In your face, yes, Jack!
We did it!
I beat you!
Yeah.
You outlived the war, but you couldn't outlive me, son!
I'd like to think it was a friendly rivalry. You know how boxers say they're going to get the ring and kill each other and that sort of stuff? Hopefully it wasn't that low down, you know, sort of like just waiting for someone to fall over and pass out in the nursing home.
It'd be good if there was some it'd be good if, like, once a year they have the weigh-in of Jack and Dexter, all these old guys in their tighty-whities, and then they mouth off against each other like, oh, you're a dead man.
I feel like the weigh-in would take place at a doctor's office. They'd be checking blood pressure and cholesterol, that sort of stuff as well.
That'd
but
be great.
You think at that age, 111 years and 124 days old, you think, okay, maybe he's sort of slowing down a little bit as well. It turns out, in the home that he's in at the moment, he is still pretty well switched on.
He's probably one of the sharpest residents here. His memory is amazing for an 111-year-old.
Born in 1910, before telephones or refrigeration, the former Kilcoy grazier spent his life on the land, refusing to retire until his mid-90s.
Wow.
Mid-90s. So that would have been almost in the mid-90s. When he retired, it was that long ago.
And if he was born in 1910, that means he remembers the Spanish flu pandemic.
He does.
So I wonder if this time around he's like, oh, pff. Have a spoonful of cement and harden up, everybody. I've lived through this stuff before.
Imagine, like, him being your boss. You call in sick and he's like,
mate,
90.
Yeah. I survived the Depression, Spanish flu, two World Wars.
Yeah.
The list goes on.
Exactly right. So he's written so many books over the years. He's basically writing a memoir about his whole life and everything. He keeps busy. 13 books he's written over the years as well. And I tell you what, you're probably wondering, what's his secret to living so long? What's the secret?
What is he, part tortoise or something?
Yeah.
Or?
What is it? Well, this is what he credits as.
Chicken brains. Ooh. Chickens have a head. And in there, there's some brains.
Very well played, Professor. Chickens have a head.
And thank you for updating me on the chicken anatomy. I wasn't sure that's where the brains were kept in chickens, but now I know.
I had to double check this story because I'm like, hang on a sec. His surname's Kruger. Sharp. Likes to eat brains. I thought it might have been this guy they were talking about.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Do you have many snacks in the house at home?
We've actually had to eliminate snacks because the partner's going through like a food elimination diet. So certain foods she can't eat just to see what she's got intolerance to. So I've had to take the liberty of picking out all those over the weekend to make sure they're no longer in the house.
All right, trying to reduce your stock levels.
Yeah, it's tough, but someone had to do it.
Well, a new state of snacking report has come out about the state of snacking in Australia. 9 in 10 Australians have still been snacking more or the same during the coronavirus pandemic. Which is a surprise to me. I thought levels would go through the roof.
Yeah.
And they reckon sales of some of the classic confectionery items have soared. Things like Pascal marshmallows.
Oh, those ones, they're pretty popular.
Yeah. I mean, they say you are what you eat, so I guess everyone's gotten a little more marshmallowy during the pandemic. Over the past 18 months, sales have skyrocketed for the marshmallows. And apparently traditional treats chocolates, lollies, chips, things like that, they're enjoyed more by Generation X and boomers, while the millennials are after the biscuits.
The Bickies?
Yeah.
Jeez, all right, they can have them.
They love a packet of Honest Assorted Creams. Mm-hmm. The millennials love that. When it comes to people working from home, their snack intake had increased, whereas those who'd gone back to the office were far less likely to reach for a chocolate bar or a biscuit.
That's definitely true. Like when you're at home, all of a sudden you're relaxed and you're like, well, just walk over to the cupboard and just look in it, sometimes without even realising you're doing it. You don't really do that at work too much.
No, it's true. We did FebFit a couple of months back, and since then I've been sort of exercising and watching what I eat. And at home we don't have any snacks in the house, really, apart from some almonds. That's what we regard as
not
a snack now.
Snack.
Now, don't get me wrong. I love the chocolate. Like, if you are trying to have a discussion with me, chances are I'm going to blank out halfway through because this is what's playing through my head. Wouldn't it be nice if the world was candy? Chances are I'm looking at you, picturing you as a life-size chocolate bunny. So, oh, you bastard, what are you doing? Hutsy's just...
chocolate eggs.
...tipped out a box of chocolate eggs. See, that's the thing. I love chocolate, and it's a temptation for me. Like, here in the office, out in reception, there's a glass bowl...
There is.
...which our receptionist, Pammy, regularly fills with chocolate eggs, like fun-sized Snickers...
Yep.
...which are my kryptonite. But I am on that health kick. I'm still carrying on from FebFit, and it's a test of my will.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I look into that bowl with delicious chocolate, I'm like Ben Stiller in Dodgeball. I can just hear that voice going like,
"You want it, don't you, fat boy? Go ahead and have a bite. One little bite won't hurt you."
I'm like, no!
Yeah.
I'm trying to be good.
It's funny you say that, because it's such a love-hate relationship with that bowl, because, like, when it's full of chocolates, you're like, no, I can't do it. And then all of a sudden, if we see it full of healthy treats, we're, like, berating Pam and going, get out of the building.
What is this?
Get some real chocolate.
Seaweed crisps? Why is this in this bowl?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, something happened yesterday, and so now I'm on a 12-step program. I went to do the groceries yesterday afternoon.
Unattended, unsupervised?
Pretty much.
Okay, asking for trouble.
And at the Coles there in Bega, there's a place over in the DVDs where they have like the discount stuff.
Of course, always near the counter.
Had a sign up saying 50 cents. I'm like, oh, hello, what's on this little rack here? Blocks of Daryl Lee chocolate.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, my God. I was like, is this for real?
Kryptonite.
I was like, no. And I went, oh, it's got to be a mistake. Look, I'll just grab a block and I'll test it at the checkouts and, you know, it's going to ring up more than that. No, it didn't. It was 50 cents. I got home and I destroyed that entire block of chocolate. I didn't feel good about it.
Okay. Sure.
And now I'm like, oh, maybe I should stock up on the other 50-cent blocks that are still there if there's any left. So, yeah, that's my weakness. This is why I would never make a good spy or anything like that, because the minute I got captured by the enemy, you know, they'd hook up the electrodes and they're like, oh, tell us what you know, otherwise, you know, they can threaten my family, they can threaten my friends.
Whatever.
The minute they crack open a block of Daryl Lee chocolate, I'm like, I'll tell you everything you want to know. Just give it to me now.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
When you buy a pet, it's a money pit. Let's be honest. You buy them, you got to feed them, you got to worm them, you got to microchip them, and that's all just like that's before you even get started on the journey if they're going to be a good pet or a bad pet.
Yeah, but they're a member of the family. You could say the same about kids, but, you know, at least the dogs and, well, not cats, but the dogs are more obedient to an extent. So, you know, it's. I think most pet owners are happy to pay that money for their pets.
I guess. What about your cat? Do you feel like he's earned his
keepies? Oh, he's not my cat.
Yeah, so I just live here with him.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I was pretty amazed to realise recently that Insta pets, like Insta famous Insta pets, Instagram celebrity
Insta pets sounds like a dehydrated pet. You pour Insta water pets on it, it goes boom, and it turns into a pet.
Sea monkeys or something
you mean
like
Insta famous, like Insta social famous media pets.
Yeah, I'd seen this firsthand. My first radio job when I was in Broome, the manager of the station, she was German, quite the character, and she made a Facebook page for her cats, Bonnie and Clyde.
Mm.
And this was in 2016. She had about 16,000 likes.
Oh, yeah.
For that page. And she would post as the cats. Like, people would, like, ask the cats questions and she would post as the cats.
Yeah, well, think about Grumpy Cat. Like,
exactly.
He's sadly no longer with us, but when he was alive, like, he had a movie made about him, I'm pretty sure. There was Grumpy Cat the movie, and, yeah, the family that owned him made an absolute mint off the back of that kid.
Yeah, it's a huge business. I'm sure she was cashing in back then, the old station manager, but now it's even bigger. Like, Tamara Cole has got her British short hair named Cheddar. Now, this thing, she's made this thing just an absolute superstar on Instagram. How much so? Have a listen to this.
More than 20,000 people follow Tamara Cole and her British short-haired Cheddar on Instagram.
When it comes to photo shoots, there's just something about Cheddar. He kind of switches into gear, and people that have seen it before are a bit shocked by it, really. And he loves the camera, loves to be in front of it. We try to think of things that people can relate to, like Cheddar loves wine, he loves bread, he's always carb loading, and yeah, he likes fashion, so he's just doing things that typical people like.
So okay. He's just sort of laying around like Garfield and getting all the credit.
What, drinking wine?
I really hope he's not drinking that wine.
RSPCA be involved at some point in this?
It's even crazier than that, because obviously he's got all the likes and everything. They're making quite a bit of money out of Cheddar. He's like the little money bank. So much so, she actually goes on Tamara Cole to explain how they actually went on a holiday recently and it was completely funded by Cheddar and basically becoming the earner for the family.
Really?
I know. Well, I'm just thinking I may have missed the boat on this possibly or something like that. And I found it even stranger. There's a woman by the name of Lucy Awad, where she works for a place called Power Pets, a talent agency specialising for pet influencers.
That's her job.
That's her job. Take a listen.
You don't even need to be a dog or a cat. We've got rabbits, we've got ponies, we've got birds. We do have people that are supporting themselves solely off what they earn. Other people are only getting a couple of $1,000s here and there.
Not only.
Only. Yeah. I'm talking like some of the cash jobs I've seen in this article are like around $5,000 for the pet just taking a couple of photos with a theme or something. It's absolutely ridiculous.
There'd be people listening right now looking at their goldfish like, look at you.
Yeah.
All you do is swim around and drink your own pee. Why can't you do something to earn this family some money?
Exactly right. And for those people that are sitting around thinking that, she's actually got some tips for people if they want to get into this industry game. Take a listen.
Start with things that are natural to your everyday life. So if your pet has a really cool talent or there's something cool and quirky about them that you'd like to show off, that's the first thing that you should do. Just start with what you think is interesting about you and your pet, and the followers and the brand deals will come from there.
How do you think your pet would go if you tried to sign it up to? What would be like the special talent or anything?
He has no talent.
No talent?
No. Finnegan, you know, unless licking your butt's a talent and making it sound as disgusting as possible, apart from that, he's like the Michael Winslow, I guess, of butt licking.
I really feel like, unfortunately, this has come like 30 years too late, because when you talk about pets doing nothing and getting good money for it, I can't think of anyone better from the 1990s than this superstar.
Ach, chum, it's so chumpy. You get caught of it.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.